Praise God. Would you turn to the book of Acts? Praise you, Master. Praise you, Master. Oh, you're so worthy. In Acts chapter 10. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 36, would you read it with me? Acts chapter 10 and verse 36. The word which God sent to children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Who? Who were oppressed by who? Oh, hallelujah. You know, when you get oppressed, you know, it's not your mood. Oppression is of the devil. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit with power to combat that oppression, to combat the deception of the things of the powers of darkness, because He was anointed. And what we want to do is walk in God's anointing, because the only way that you are going to overcome the powers of darkness is by walking in the anointing. Is everybody with me? Again, I'm going to repeat. I don't care how much word you know. I don't care who you know. I don't care what ministry you're involved in. Without the anointing, you cannot defeat the power of darkness. Is everybody with me? You can have all the religion you want. You could have been brought up as a preacher's kid. You could have gone to every Bible study and everything. But if you do not walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you do not have power. Is everybody with me? Power. Power to what? Power to overcome the enemy. Amen? Power to overcome the enemy. And who is the enemy?
The devil.
Amen. Praise God. Now look at one of the things, Jesus was anointed. In fact, when Mary came in and broke the alabaster box, you know, with the oil, and everybody around her was like, "What are you doing, man? It's worth a lot of money." And the Lord said, "Hold on a second. What she's done is a good thing." See, everything biblically in this Bible is always symbolic. It's symbolic. That alabaster box is a representation of the Lord who was going to be broke, that the oil could be poured out, that anointing could be poured out to all mankind, anyone willing to receive. Is everybody with me? Now listen, when she anointed his feet, he says, "Listen, don't worry about that. You always have poor. Listen, this is a special moment. This is a special moment that I want you to get." And in this moment, she is anointing me for burial. See, the anointing is anointing us for death to self. You cannot walk in the anointing without death to self. I don't care how much of the word you know and who you know. Because most people walk in a lot of word, walk in a lot of pride. Hello? Is everybody with me? They're so filled with the word, they can't hear what the Spirit says anymore. Do we have to have the word? You betcha. But you got to have the presence of God in your life. Without the presence of God, we're nothing. Is everybody with me? It is important. It is important about the anointing. If Jesus had to be anointed with the Holy Spirit, how much more to me and you do? Is everybody with me? How much more? I mean, we need to be anointed. We need to be drenched in His presence. We need to walk in the joy of the Lord. We can't look behind. We got to keep going forward. It's not about what you did. It's about what you're doing. Amen. Don't worry about what you're supposed to do in the future. Just be concerned about walking with Him and doing what you're supposed to do right now. Because He is the God of now. And one of the things He wants to do is not only keep us anointed, but keep us clean. Without being clean, you can't maintain the anointing. That's why sanctification is done by the Spirit. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. I want to go to a couple places here before we get going. One of the things that Jesus, when He rose from the dead, go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Now Jesus rises from the dead in verse 36. Oh, hallelujah. Now as they said these things, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened. Suppose they had seen a spirit. They suppose they saw a ghost is what happened. Hello? They were freaked. And He said to them, that's why He said, "Peace to you." If He didn't say peace to you, those guys probably would have started all brand new doors in that building. And He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts?" He said something very powerful. He said, "Behold my hands. Behold my hands and my feet. That it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His feet. Now I want you to understand something. When Mary came in to broke the alabaster box, she anointed His feet. Hello? When He rose, He said, "Behold my hands." Does everybody understand that? Behold my hands. Symbolically, it's my hands. I want you to take my hands. In other words, He's trying to express to them, "You are now my hands. You are now my feet. You are now my voice." See, the anointing has no separation of whom Jesus was and who, what the anointing is now, the Holy Spirit. There is no separation. When you are anointed with the Spirit of the living God, your feet and your hands are now anointed. Is everybody with me? You are anointed to walk into places, and you are anointed in your hands. And I want to share about anointed hands tonight, because it's important about anointed hands. First of all, you've got to be able to receive and understand that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. His death, before His death, His feet were anointed. He rose from the dead, and the first thing He says is, "Behold my hands." Does everybody understand what I'm saying? My hands. See, now you and I are supposed to be the extension of Him with our hands and our feet. Amen? We're to walk like He walked. We're to talk like He talked. We're to have the character and expression of His person in love, in humbleness, in compassion, in authority, in boldness, and overcoming, right? We're to use the character that He has given us through the sevenfold of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Praise God. I would like you to go to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Hallelujah. And verse 3, would you read it with me? Psalm 24 and verse 3. You know, when he said, "Behold my hands." And what did they do? They went and touched him, didn't they? Point of contact. See, the Holy Spirit is a point of contact. When he told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem till the Holy Spirit came upon them, that was a point of contact. We've talked about some of this before. You remember when God worked unusual miracles through the hands of Paul, he had aprons and handkerchiefs. Those things were known as a point of contact. Do you know that your hands are supposed to be holy hands and anointed hands to be utilized as a point of contact? In Psalm 24, in verse 3, would you read it with me? Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy presence? He who has what? Clean hands and a pure heart. Do you notice how they coordinate with one another? Clean hands and a pure heart. You will not have clean hands if your heart's not pure. Who has not lifted up his soul to a what? Idol. Nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive what? Blessing from the Lord, or what? Favor from the Lord. And righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Who seek your face. Anointed hands. Who can approach the mountain of God? In other words, that's the presence of the Lord, isn't it? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, because they are connected to one another. Oh, to God be the glory. Go to Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18. How many of y'all want anointed hands? Lift your hands to the Lord. Say, Lord, anoint these hands. Purify my heart that you can work through me. In Jesus' name. Why don't you lift your hands? Okay, good. Praise God. Stretch them out. Touch the heavens. Amen. Don't be a weenie. Verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will what? Cause you to hear my words. You know why you're here? You're getting caused to hear his words. Hallelujah. You in the potter's house. That's why it's called the house of death. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 3. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. The wheel represents the Holy Spirit. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel, and it seemed good to the potter to make. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, oh, house of total freedom and true ministries. Can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord, look at the clay in the potter's what? Hand. So are you in my hand, O house of true ministries and total freedom? Amen. Hello. So are you in my hand? What's the first thing he said when they rose from the dead? My hands. Behold, my hands. Oh, hallelujah. He could have said, behold my feet. But what did he say? Behold my hands. So we're in the hands of the Lord, aren't we? But see, God wants to express his hands through me and you. So they must be anointed. Is everybody with me? They've got to be anointed. Glory to God. Go to Psalm 141. Glorious. Oh, praise you, Master. Psalm 141. Is everybody there? Verses 1 through something. 1 through 4. Sounds good. Read it with me. Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as an incense. The lifting of my hands as the evening. Lifting of my hands as the what? Evening sacrifice. It's amazing how many people do not believe in the lifting of their hands. Blows my mind. Lifting of your hands is a form of surrender to God. Lifting up your hands is a form of honor to Him. Lifting up your hands is a representation as you are that sacrifice. Lifting up your hands. If you notice in some of the worship services, man, you lift your hands and all of a sudden you can sense the Spirit of the Lord begin to just move. See, what he's doing is just looking for individuals that are surrendered. He just wants us to fall in him. Totally just fall on him and let him take care of it all. Oh, hallelujah. David said, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips and do not incline my heart to any evil thing. To practice wicked works with men who work iniquity and do not let me eat of their what? Delicacies, eating of the traditions of men. There's so much religious garbage that's passed down, which is called traditions of men. It's eating delicacies of the wicked. Why? Because if anything comes against the word of God, hello, anything that comes against the word of the Lord is known as wicked. So if the Bible says cast out devils and people don't believe in it, then they're eating the delicacies of the wicked. Does everybody understand it? Why? Because they're associating with the spirit of error. Is he not a devil? Amen. And then what they eat, then they transfer to someone else, don't they? They give him that same meal. People who don't know about worshiping the Lord, they think worshiping the Lord is being silent. God never said to be silent. It says be still and know that he's God. But he didn't say be silent when you come into worship. He says, sing the high praises of God. Lifting up your hands is an evening sacrifice. Hello. Shout to the Lord. Make a joyful noise. Not sing three hymns and sit down. Don't wait to find out when the meeting is where everybody can go eat. That's religion. And they're eating all right, but they're not eating the things of God. They're eating the things of the delicacies of the wicked. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Go to Psalm 90. I'm not against any denomination. I'm not against any church. I'm against the lies of the devil. Hallelujah. There's nothing worse than a dead church, so I'll tell you that. You want to see people get alive? Go to a dead church. Man, they are full of flesh. Their flesh is so alive, it's ridiculous. Everybody's moving and twitching and can't wait to get out of there. Hello? They're looking at their watch. They've never seen that watch so many times in 1 hour or 30 minutes, whatever it is. You know? The only thing that's turning is their wrist. Hallelujah. Psalm 90, verse 17. I think. Let's start at 13. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us and the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. In other words, we're surrendering our hands and our bodies to the Lord, that these hands could be anointed. But it must first start with a pure heart. Amen? Pure heart. Glory to God. Go to Psalm 110. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Where did I say to go? Okay. Okay, cool. Verse 5. Would you read it with me? The Lord is at your what? Right hand. Hallelujah. Didn't say your right foot, did it? Said your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries. He ain't playing. He shall drink of the brook by the wayside. Therefore, he shall lift up the head. Oh, hallelujah. Where's the Lord? At your right hand, isn't he? What's he doing? He's waiting to work through you. Amen? He's waiting to work through you. Go to Proverbs 3. Anointed hands. Oh, to God be the glory. Verse 25. Read it with me. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. Hello, it didn't say it won't come. When it comes, it's going to come. How do you think you're going to get tested? Hello. How are you going to know who God is if you don't get tested? If the wicked, you know, God uses the powers of darkness for his sake. He's training you up. Do not be afraid of sudden terror nor trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. When it is where? In the power of your what? Your hand. Power in your hands. Glory to God. Ecclesiastes in verse 9, or chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Glorious. Would you read verse 10 with me? Everybody there? Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Oh, hallelujah. In other words, listen, man. Do what you're supposed to be doing now. Do it now. Don't procrastinate. Do it now. The only thing that prevents people from doing what they're supposed to be doing and stepping where they're supposed to be stepping is fear. Now, fear is also associated with pride. Hello? Does everybody understand that? Because the two major spirits involved in religion is pride and fear. They're afraid someone's going to find out what they're like. Is everybody with me? Because that's bondage. That's bondage. The Bible says, with the Spirit of the Lord is there's what? Freedom. It's not management. We're free. I'm no longer an addict. In fact, I never was because I'm a brand new creation. So if I'm a brand new person, why would I associate with that? The only reason why I associate it with that is to be a witness. Hello? Other than that ain't me. Wasn't me. I'm brand new. That dude that I knew named Guy, he was a real jerk. Now the one I know now, he's the son of the Most High God. There's a difference. Hallelujah. Joint heir of Christ, seated in heavenly places, and blessed with every spiritual blessing. I'm overwhelmed. Overflowing. My cuppeth overfloweth. Sound like Sylvester. I thought of, oh, that was with Tweety Bird. Never mind. So we want to do it all of our what? Might. Might who? In his might. Amen. Oh, praise be to God. Go to Isaiah 59. Ooh-wee. Lighten up. A little stiff here tonight. What's up? I didn't say tighten up. I said lighten up. You can lighten up in here now. Come on. It's okay. Praise God. No usher's going to throw you out for saying hallelujah. Praise God. Isaiah 59 and verses 1 through 3. Would you read it with me? Behold, the Lord's hand is what? Not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are what? Defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue has muttered perversity. Ooh, those are things that will cause the presence of God to begin to separate from you. Amen? But it says the Lord's hand is not short. In other words, we're to be the extension of his hand. We are. Remember this and don't lose this, and I've shared this before. When God came down and spoke to Moses, he sent Moses, didn't he? Amen? He didn't say, okay, Moses, hang here in my presence, I'll be back. Here, wait here, write out the Ten Commandments. By the time you get done, I'll have Israelites out, the Hebrews, I'll have them out of Egypt. By the time you get done writing these Ten Commandments. No. He said, Moses, I'm sending you. I heard the prayers and the afflictions of my people. I have come down from heaven to earth to send you. You know what he gave him for anointed hands? The staff. That was his anointed hands. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Luke 10. Is everybody all right? Glory, hallelujah, glory. Starting at verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was not about to go. Wait a minute. Oh, was about to go. Sorry. Where he himself was about to go. So who was he sending ahead of him? Hallelujah. His walking hands, huh? Then he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are what? Few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way, behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsacks, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it, and if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from the house to house. Do not go from what? House to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you and eat such things are as are set before you. In verse 9, heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So what were they doing? They were laying hands on them, weren't they? Hello. The Lord said, go before me. He was sending them. See, so many people, in other words, they didn't see the Lord, right? But the Lord was with them, wasn't he? I mean, he was still way back. He was sending them out to all the cities. The carnal mind was saying, well, the Lord is way back there. How can we heal the sick if he's back there? But that's not how he operates, because he's God and omnipresent. He's just looking for someone to use as a point of contact with a pure heart and clean hands. That's all he's looking for. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Luke 9 while we're here. Verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I'll do whatever it takes. Hallelujah. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Let me in that program. I don't care whatever it takes. They don't realize they're making covenant with God when they said, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. They're doing the same thing here. Lord, I will follow you wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever it takes. It's no different. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Oh, hallelujah. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. Here's the difference from receiving the anointing and catching the anointing or not. People are still men pleasers instead of God pleasers. They're still caught up in the ways of the world. When Jesus says, go, when you gave your life to the Lord, you do not have a life. That's where people are still fighting for their life. You and I, who are children of the Most High God, do not have a life. Is everybody with me? Amen. You were bought. We were all slaves of darkness. Now we're slaves of light. We were bought with a price. So you and I don't have a life. But the life that he has for us is much greater than the life that you fight for. See, the carnal mind wants to fight for the temporary life. The spirit's fighting for the eternal life. Oh, to God be the glory. In verse 61. Another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. So one was going to go bury the dead. The other one was going to go say, I'll be right back. Let me just say goodbye. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Yow. Now the kingdom of God tells us that it is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Now the Holy Ghost is the anointing. Amen? So that means the kingdom of God is power. The kingdom of God is what? Power. Now, the Bible tells us the kingdom of God is neither here nor there, but within. That means that the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you are the walking kingdom of God. Jesus said, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. People were looking for buildings. They didn't understand that he was the kingdom of God. Do you know that you are now the kingdom of God? Is everybody with me? You are now the kingdom of God. And that's all he's doing is looking for someone to seek him, to know him, to have a pure heart and clean hands that he can work through them. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Ezekiel 3. Anointed hands. Ezekiel chapter 3. Oh, to God be the glory. Verse 16. Now the word of the Lord, now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require where? On your hands. Ooh. Yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your what? At your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning, and also you will deliver your soul. So we see that the blood comes upon our hands. The Bible says, touch nothing unclean. Separate yourself. Be sanctified. See, we can touch things even in the spirit, which can dirty our hands. Why? Because they can first dirty your heart. Once your heart is dirty, your hands are dirty. Is everybody with me? Anybody with me?
Yeah, amen.
Praise God. If you recall, David could not build the Lord's house, could he? Why? Because he had blood on his hands, didn't he? That's why Solomon had to build the house of the Lord. Oh, praise God. Go to Revelation chapter 20. Oh, hallelujah. Revelation chapter 20. Starting at verse 4. Read it with me, please. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for what? 1,000 years. See, the devil knows what mark you carry now. And I saw the thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. You know, in these marks, you know, there are marks that are not just physically seen, but spiritually seen. In fact, you're in the spirit, you can see the marks of powers of darkness on an individual. See, the powers of darkness are looking for the marks of Christ on me and you. That's why the Bible says you and I are sealed with the Holy Spirit. They're seeing the marks of Christ. But if you're not walking and you're not right with God, they're not seeing the marks of Christ. So you're either carrying the marks of Christ or the marks of Satan, one or the other. As a man thinks, there's a mark there, isn't there? Because what a man thinks is what he does, doesn't he? So you're serving the devil, you have a mark on your hand and a mark in your head. Is everybody with me? You know, people just take it so nonchalantly and so, well, that's okay, the Lord will forgive me. No, you've been marked. Remember when the chief priests of the Jews tried to cast out the devil, right? He tried to cast out that devil, didn't he? I mean, he had, what, his seven sons there or whatever? And he tried to cast out a devil out of one of them. And he said, listen, I cast you out in the name of the Lord or the God of Paul, Jesus. The devil looked at him and said, man, Jesus we know and Paul we know because they saw the marks. But who are you? And they ripped this dude apart. He ran out of his own temple naked. Hello, all of them did. They all ran out. Because they did not carry the marks of Christ. They carried the marks of Satan. Oh, hallelujah. James 4. In verse 7. James 4 and verse 7. That's why I try to tell people who you serve when you die is where you go. That's amazing about that. Once saved, always saved. It blows my mind. How can somebody serve Satan and expect to go to heaven? Amen? I mean, how can you just, you know, I mean, the Bible even tells us, woe unto them. Far be it that we should trample the Spirit of grace and trample the blood of the covenant of Christ. You know, when we were out there doing the wrong things, we were tormented and we knew that if we died in that condition, we were in trouble. We knew it. Why? Because we carried the marks from beneath and not from above. That's why who you serve when you die is where you go. Oh, hallelujah. James 4 and verse 7, would you read it with me? Therefore, submit to God and resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. Submit to who? Oh, hallelujah. That means when you submit to God, amen, you get a pure heart, don't you? And you get what? Clean hands. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. What does it say? Cleanse your what? Your hands, you sinners. And purify your what? Hearts. You double-minded. Oh, hallelujah. So you see the heart is associated with this too, isn't it? Your mind. Lament and mourn, weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. Oh, praise be to God. Cleanse your hands. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2. Anointed hands. Oh, Jesus, anoint our hands tonight. And verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. Oh, glory. I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere. Pray where?
Everywhere.
Lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in a modest apparel with property and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Oh, hallelujah. In other words, don't dress as the world dresses. Amen? That's for men and women. We are separated unto God, aren't we? You know, because there's... I remember when I was first saved and so forth, and I went to church and whatever, and, you know, people come in, and you can tell the ones that don't know the Lord yet, and that's okay. You know, because they left most of their clothes outside. But that's okay. Once they know the Lord, then they begin to change, don't they? Because they're no longer men or women hunting. They're God hunting. And that makes it totally different, doesn't it? And that's what this is talking about. Do you understand that? Amen? We're no longer hunting for a mate. We have the greatest mate we can be with, Jesus. If He chooses to send someone, so be it. But we don't hunt for them. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. You know, I get calls from people, I've been prophesied that there's a husband or a wife for me. Praise God. Don't hunt for one then. Hello? Don't hunt for one. You know, immediately people begin to chase the prophecy instead of keeping their eyes on the Lord. They can regret it later. One thing you don't want to do is get married out of God's timing. It might be the right person, but it may not be God's timing. That means no. Amen. But you got to be careful. But I get calls from all kinds of strange things. And people get into trouble. You know, we don't want to go ahead of God, but we want to be holy with Him. Holy. It says, be holy for He is holy. Man, there isn't anything greater than to watch God work a miracle through you. Amen? I'm telling you what, I'll never forget the day the Lord did it through me. The first time it ever happened. Well, the second time it really happened. The first time I didn't feel nothing. Of course, I don't feel nothing anymore, so praise be to God, you know. Every once in a while, I'll get a little touch. But the majority of the time, it's by faith. But I had it one time, man, where the power of God ripped right through my head. I thought I was going to split right in half. And then it went right through my arms and hit this person. I wanted to go around and pray for everybody. It didn't happen that way again. You know, I was like, waiting, all right. Come on, what are you waiting on? Let's do that again. That was great. But it didn't happen that way. But He let me touch and taste that glorious love. It was like a bolt of lightning went right through my head. But it was glorious love. And went right through my arms and touched this person. This person almost went right through the top of the car. I picked him up from the street. The Lord said to me, He needs to talk to you. I pulled over. The guy came to my car and said, pray for me. I said, whoa, how many times does that happen, right? You knew it had to be God. You knew it had to be God. You pull over to the side of this tone. This dude comes running right over to the passenger side. I rolled down the window. He says, pray for me. I said, get in. Hallelujah. Get in, man. He was just rolling up his bed from sleeping on the street. He smelled badly. Booze, you know, nothing worse than stale booze, you know. Cigarettes and all the other stuff. And his eyes were bloodshot red. When the power of God hit this dude and he almost went through the roof, he looked at me and he rolled up his arms and he showed me all of his tracks marks. He was a heroin addict. And he said, I didn't know he loved me so much. I didn't know he loved me so much. And I looked at the dude, his eyes were cleared up and everything. I turned the mirror and I said, man, look! I mean, he was amazed as much as I was. Or I was amazed as much as he was. He rolled up, he took his thing, and he says, man, he opened the door. He wanted to go tell everybody. I said, wait a minute. I put a Bible in his hand. I've never seen him since. But the power of God that went through this donkey, it was glorious. Oh, I feel the power of God occasionally in certain areas and certain times when however God wants to do it. I feel the presence of God in the anointing. I know because my whole character changes. Because it's not me. I know because of the authority and whatever. And I'm able to see and so forth. I know when the Holy Spirit comes upon me and the power of God is there. But then there's a different level of God's power. And sometimes he allows you to share with it and sometimes he doesn't. Hello? He doesn't want us to give a puffed head. So then we begin to beg him for it. More! More! I want more of that data. Come on, give me some more. I'm still waiting. Every service I'm waiting. Yeah. Glory, nail me again. You know? Kill me with your presence. You know? He tells me, don't worry about it. You got eternity with that. You know, some of us, praise God, we want his presence so bad we'd end up dead. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Exodus 17. Exodus 17. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Hallelujah. Praise God. Exodus 17. Oh, to God be the glory. Let's see. Let's start in verse 8. Are you with me? Let's read it together. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God. With the what? With the rod of God. In my what? Hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up on the top of the hill. So it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. You know, I want you to start thinking that on Friday night anointing services. When you're praising and getting in God's presence, that has hit my spirit so strongly. There's been times when I was growing and a baby in Christ, man, I wouldn't let those hands down because I knew I was standing in the gap. Hello? When you're lifting up your hands, you're standing in the gap also. Jesus is prevailing. When you let those hands down sometimes, did you notice, you ever notice that things change when you lift your hands? When the whole place begins to lift their hands, you know there's a sense, there's something different. There's a difference of presence. And when we let our hands down, there's a whole change of difference of presence. Is everybody with me? Amen. I mean, do you understand that? Oh, hallelujah. So we know that Moses kept his hands up. In fact, he had to have Hur and Aaron help him hold his hands up. His hands were getting tired. But they end up winning. Amen? Sometimes you just got to go the extra mile. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit has us worship longer because He's trying to stretch us. Trying to stretch us so He can put more in us. Crucify that flesh, expose more garbage in us. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, look at Psalm 22. Now, do you think the devil saw all the healings Jesus did? Amen. Oh, praise God. Is everybody okay? In verse 16. Psalm 22 and verse 16. Is everybody there? For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the what? What do you think he was talking about? Demons. Has enclosed me. They what? Pierced my hands and my feet. Oh, hallelujah. I count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing they cast lots. You don't think the devil tried to nail Jesus' hands to the cross? Oh, hallelujah. He thought it was over with. He thought that he had just defeated the one that was producing all these miracles. You know what? He actually believed himself, and I really believe this, that he was the Son of God. I believe that the devil believed eventually that Jesus was the Son of God, but I also believe he was in his own deception that he believed he could defeat him. Because he still believes it right now, doesn't he? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. But if he knew it was going to happen, he wouldn't have done it, would he? He would have tried to do his best to keep him alive because then he wouldn't have gotten into his camp. Man, don't kill him! He's got the keys to my crib. I'll lose everything. Don't kill him. Oh, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Luke 23. Glory. Luke 23. Glory to God. Is everybody there? Good. Luke 23 and verse something. I think it's 46. Now we'll start at 44. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into what? Your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last breath. Into whose hands? The Father's hands. Into your hands I commit my what? Spirit. Oh, to God be the glory. Oh, to God be the glory. Into his hands he committed his spirit. You know what? God wants to commit his spirit into your hands to move through you. Does everybody understand that? Oh, praise God. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Anointed hands. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Is everybody there? Read it with me. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. He says, stirring up the gift that's been imparted in you by the laying on of hands. Paul would come and preach and say, I pray that I impart something in you. Amen? How did he do it? By the laying on of hands. Is everybody with me? Praise God. Go to 1 Timothy back. Go to chapter 4 in 1 Timothy. Verse 14, what does it say? Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the what? Laying on of hands of the elders. Amen? Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who what? Hear you. Laying on of hands. Now, I do not recommend that people go out and lay hands on everybody. You must be directed by the Lord. Because you may lay hands on someone that you're not supposed to, and that spirit will come from them back into you. Hello? That's why the Bible says don't be quick to lay hands on somebody. Hello? Oh, praise God. Go to Deuteronomy 34. And don't let anybody lay hands on you. Hello? That you don't know. Hey, man, let me lay hands on you. Wonderful. Give me that perverse spirit. Give me that spirit of nicotine. You know? You don't know what's what. I do not participate in churches that say, okay, everybody lay hands on somebody. I will not participate, and don't do it. There are witches in churches. You know that? Hello. Where do you think they are? That's right. They're in the church. They're there at the services, waiting to impart something, sitting in the back and interceding, praying against you. Where did I say to go? Deuteronomy 34, thank you. Glory to God. So you want to be careful about letting people lay hands on you. Deuteronomy 34, verse 6 through 9. Verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him. The Lord, who buried him? The Lord buried him. In a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows his grave to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Now Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had what? Laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded him. What was he doing? He was passing on the anointing, wasn't he? Amen? Passing on the anointing. That has to be directed by the Lord. Is everybody with me? Praise God. In Acts 19, go to Acts 19. Oh, hallelujah. Anointed hands. There are times we're doing a worship service or something that the Lord guides me, leads me to anoint somebody's hands. Listen, David was anointed. It took many years later before God used him. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And Acts 19 and verse 6. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the what? Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and what? Prophesy. Laying hands is a transference of not only anointing, but the Holy Spirit moved through them, didn't he? And touched and filled them with the Spirit of God. Go to Mark 16. Mark 16. Everybody knows this scripture? Praise God. Mark 16. Hallelujah. Those religious demons don't like this one, but Holy Spirit does. Mark 16. Verse 16. And he who believes and is baptized will be what? Saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will what? They will recover. Healing. I'm going to close at Psalm 92. Glorious. Verse 1 through 4. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings and on a lute and on a harp with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. Amen. Come on, lift your hands again. Say, Lord, anoint my hands according to your word, that I may be about your business in truth, spirit, and in power, in Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you, keep you, guide you, position you, fill you, and anoint you according to his will and way, that you may be a sign and wonder with his glory and power. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.